तोत्र वेत्रैक पाणये ज्ञान मुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ इन द 16th चैप्टर। वी डिस्कस द डिवाइन क्वालिटीज एंड देन वी केम टू द पॉइंट वेयर वी जस्ट स्टार्टेड द डेमोनिक क्वालिटीज। So Krishna has till now described that divine qualities lead to liberation and the demonic qualities lead to bondage. So now he will list the demoniac qualities. Let's start the discussion. 16.7 onwards, we'll see. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha yanana vidura asuraha na shaucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. So pravrittim cha nivrittim cha, that acting properly and acting improperly. Prabhupada translates Pravritti and Nivritti simply as Jana Navidura Asuraha. So the demoniac people, Navidur, they do not know. Na Shaucham, Na Apicha Charu. And they do not have cleanliness, nor do they have proper behavior. Na Cha Charu. And Na Satyam Teshu Vidyate. And there is no truthfulness among them also. So Krishna starts by describing, first and foremost, that their behavior is not guided. Now, what guides their behavior? Actually, normal our behavior should be guided by scripture. So, only when our behavior is guided by scripture, then can we be acting properly. Just as a sick patient, as a patient who is sick, needs to be guided by the doctor's guidelines. Similarly, we are all sick in material existence, and scriptures are given to help us, to help guide us, so that we can recover spiritually and reclaim our eternal spiritual happiness and loving relationship with Krishna. So, pravritti and nivritti. So, the scriptures tell us certain things to do and certain things to avoid, certain prescriptions and certain proscriptions. So, do's and don'ts. Now, the demoniac people do not care for them. Vishnu Bhakta Smito Deva Asurastad Viparyaya. The scriptures say that the Vishnu Bhakta Smito Deva, who are devatas, those who are the devotees of Lord Vishnu, and those who are opposite to that means those who are opposed to Lord Vishnu, they are the demons. And what is opposition to Lord Vishnu? Now, Vishnu is not directly present in this world all the time. He sometimes comes for as incarnations, and those who oppose him are demons. But those who oppose the words of Lord Vishnu, they are also of a demoniac mentality. Now, in the previous verse it was just Dva Vimau Purushav Loke. So, Dva Bhuta Sargav Loke Ismin Daiva Asurai Vacha. So, both these two verses start with Dva. We discussed in 15.16. There are two kinds of Purushas. And here it is, there are two kinds of living beings. So, both verses start with the same thing. But there is a difference. What is being talked about? There it's talking about fallible and infallible. Here it's talking about that is conditionally liberated. Here it's talking about two people. They need not necessarily be liberated. When the godly are not necessarily liberated, some of those with godly qualities may be liberated, but many of them are not. They are on the path to liberation. Krishna has said, "Daivi sampad vimokshaya." Daivi sampad will lead to liberation. So then when Krishna classifies this, the divine and the demoniac. So what does it imply? Is it that everybody who is not divine is a demoniac? So when Prabhupada was asked this question, Prabhupada was clear about the point. You know, we have to be careful when what we mean by the word demoniac. We shouldn't think demoniac means, you know, some person who has two horns coming out of the head and maybe some fangs coming out of the mouth and a hideous looking face. Now, that is a stereotype, that is a caricature of a demon. Demons don't necessarily have to be like that. So, Jayadvait Maharaj wrote an article in BTG where he said, you know, who is a demon? So, he said that actually, you know, your local politician might be a demon. Your postman might be a demon. Your grocer might be a demon. Your neighbor might be a demon. You might be a demon. So, what does it mean? It's more of a mentality. Now, if we see in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana is a war between the humans and Rakshasas. So, Ravana is a Rakshasa. But the Mahabharata is a war between humans only. Kauravas and Pandavas are both humans, and actually Rakshasas are there on both sides. So Bhima's son Ghatotkacha. He is born from Hidimbi, who is a Rakshasi, and therefore he is a Rakshasa. And on the opposite side, there was a Rakshasa named Alambusha. So he was a relative of the Bakasur, not the Bakasur from Krishna Leela, but the Bakasur who was killed by Bhima. Bakasur had a voracious appetite. So, and he was a relative of that, and he wanted to take revenge. So that's why he decided to fight in this war against Bhima. So either way, there were Rakshas on both sides. And there were humans who were fighting the war. They were the main protagonists, main opponents were humans. But then Duryodhana, although he may not have a body like a Rakshasa, Duryodhana had a Asuri mentality. So there is a divine mentality and there is a demoniac mentality. Now within the demoniac mentality also, there are people who are overtly demoniac and there are people who are under demoniac influence. So many people are godless today, not because they deliberately, at least from this life's perspective, want to be godless. That's because they are living in a socio-cultural situation where they are not given knowledge of the scripture. And because when they are not given knowledge about God, then they naturally don't come to know about Him. You know, some people may be jikyasu who actually endeavor to know about God, but many people don't, and that's how they stay in ignorance. And under the spell of ignorance, they often act godlessly, they act anti-scripturally. This happens sometimes, unfortunately. So this can be corrected, and that's what we will be the theme of the chapter at the end, that Shastram Pramanam, act according to Shastra. But here Krishna is telling that the demoniac, the characteristic in general is that their conduct is not in accordance to scripture. Pravittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidura asuraha. So in today's society, people think that the scripture is just some old-fashioned, outdated, pre-scientific mythology, or just some more metaphorically created for morality or whatever. They don't consider it as a for what it is. Actually, scriptures are a manual for living, and when we don't use the manual, at best we underuse a gadget. At worst, we may misuse, and we may even cause destruction of the gadget, or we may cause destruction of ourselves. You know, if somebody uses an electronic device maybe in an improper way, the device may have some circuitry which may just catch fire, which may explode or whatever. So, not necessarily electronic devices, different kinds of devices. The point is that the manual helps us to use it best. So, the scriptures are the manual. The demoniac, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidura asuraha. They don't follow scripture at all. And the Prabhupada explains in the purport that Prabhupada usually when he talks about cleanliness, he talks about internal cleanliness by chanting Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada quotes Manu Samhita, so which is the law of the human race. And then Prabhupada talks about women. Now, Manu Samhita has men. When Prabhupada refers to Manu Samhita, he is primarily referring to a principle. Now, there are many instructions in Manu Samhita which Prabhupada did not even try to implement in today's society. Because today's society, the cultural situation is significantly different from the situation earlier. So there are many statements which seem to be very casteist or sexist if we don't understand their context. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that the Manu Samhita today has been, what we have has been interpolated by Brahmanas who wanted to promote their own position, and that's why the specifics of the Brahmana Samhita may have been undermined. But Prabhupada is referring to the, if you look at Prabhupada's not just statement but his example also, Prabhupada did not directly try to implement everything from Manu Samhita in ISKCON. He recognized the nuances and the necessities of today's realities, and he was an expert at presenting according to time, place, circumstance. But the principle is to be always recognized. The principle is what? That we are meant to live in harmony with God's guidelines. And those Krishna's guidelines are very important for overall spiritual advancement. and in that way we can move forward in making spiritual advancement. Now regarding the position of women, it's a very important point that this issue repeatedly keeps coming up. And in today's scenario where women often want equal rights, so the statements of Srila Prabhupada where he talks about women needing protection may seem to be a throwback to past times. But the point is, it's not a throwback. The point is that everybody has to be situated in a way that is best situated for spiritual advancement. So the best role for women is when they are contributing in the way that they are made for psychophysically. So nobody can take the place of a mother. So a father cannot take place of the love, not just physically but also emotionally. So the kind of love that the mother can give the child, nobody can do that. So motherhood has been trivialized, and sexuality has been glamorized in today's society. See, basically women can have two sets of identities, self-identity. It can be a sexual identity or a maternal identity. So the Vedic culture emphasized that women take up the maternal identity. That's why women are referred to as Matajis. So that when women take up the maternal identity, that means that they take up the role of mothers. They will become mothers even if they are not mothers right now. And when they take up that role is a role which actually they can... Now both the sexual identity and the maternal identity, neither of them is eternal. It's both are body-based only. At the level of the soul, they are also parts of Krishna and they are devotees of Krishna, as according to the Swarupa, whatever it may be. But if you look at the two roles, the sexual role and the maternal role, then the maternal role is far more conducive for spiritual advancement and far more conducive for material harmony also. The sexual, when a woman takes up a sexual role, that means a woman considers, when society treats women primarily from the point of view of sexual identity. And women also identify themselves based on their, as the word is, sex appeal. Then what happens is it creates insecurity even within a woman, because how long is the sex appeal going to last? You know, women may look beautiful now, but after a woman who has lived only for attracting the attention of others based on sex appeal, you know, as the body ages and the sex appeal goes away, then the women feel lonely. And even if the sex appeal is there, you know, the women are used, women feel used for their bodies. So the sexuality is an aspect of life, but we have discussed the difference between sexuality and sexualization. It's reducing a person to just a sexual creature. That's sexualization. And that is extremely undesirable. But when we have images in today's society which highlight the female form in various levels of dressing and undressing, and then this sort of imagery perpetuates a stereotype of a woman primarily as a sexual being, and that identity is deleterious. It is extremely harmful. It is harmful for women themselves because it creates insecurity. It is harmful for men because it agitates them, and it is harmful for children because, you know, with that, when a woman wants to have that identity, or the society wants women to have that identity, then, you know, motherhood is not very easy. So there are so many complications. Women don't want to become mothers because in during pregnancy the body doesn't look attractive, and then afterwards one has to spend so much time taking care of the child, and people have so many ideas about when this one identity becomes too highlighted, then everything else becomes trivialized. And it's been widely known that children who do not get, sociologists have talked about it repeatedly, that children who do not get the love of their mothers, often they grow up to be disturbed and disturbed youths who disturb society in turn. So, and you know, for a woman, motherhood is a unique privilege which is given by God. You know, why should a woman give up this unique God-given privilege and try to become copycats of men? Although women may claim that we want independence from men, which is how the whole feminist movement is often portrayed, But what is the idea of independence? The idea of independence essentially boils down to the idea of women becoming copycat of men. You know, what women and men are doing, women say that we will do all that. So now, whether they can do it or not, that's not an issue. Now women can become determined and say, we will succeed in the sports, we'll succeed in that field, we'll succeed in that field. Now, the point here is not whether they can or they cannot. The point is that what is the purpose of life? What is the role that we are to play and how can we play it best? That is the important thing to recognize. So, if we forget that purpose, then we can make a mess of everything. So, the purpose is that this life is temporary and the body that we have is just like a dress. And while we are in this body, this world is not a station. It's not a destination, it's a station. And it's a station along which we have to pass. So, we pass the life in this world in such a way that we can make maximum spiritual advancement and return to Krishna for eternal happiness. So if when a woman takes the maternal role, that means the woman can actually live in a way, a woman can be a mother throughout one's life. You know, a woman may not have sexual appeal throughout life, but the maternal care is eternal, is innate to the psychophysical disposition of a mother. And the woman can offer that throughout one's life. So, the dressing, the conduct, the behavior, the lifestyle, all that, if it is more maternal, then the woman can also be more peaceful and men can also be more peaceful. Now, sometimes this sort of thing is taken to extremes, and when some crimes happen against women, women are blamed. That is not the point over here. You know, when crimes happen against women, it is men who are to be, it is the perpetrators of the crime who are to be blamed, whatever be the situation. But the important point to recognize is that why should women self-identify themselves in as sexual creatures and become and provoke others? No, actually, the idea is when Prabhupada says women should be protected under a husband or son or father, the idea is that then that is the best way they can contribute according to their unique psychophysical disposition, distinct to psychophysical disposition, to society. And actually they can also get fulfillment by that. So, nashaucham na pichacharo na satyam deshu vidyate. So, that's what now Prabhupada talks about the role of women. And thereafter, he should talk about let's talk about next verse. So the social condition of demoniac people is very miserable, Prabhupada writes. So asatyam pratishtham te jagadahuranishwaram aparasparasambhutam kimanya kamahaitukam. So asatyam apratishtham te. This world is unreal and it is without the foundation. Jagadahuranishwaram, that it has no Ishvara. Aparasparasambhutam, that actually it is just created by mutual contact without any further cause. Kimanyat kama haitukam, reduced to lust only and there is no other cause. So what is Krishna referring to over here? He is moving from activity to mentality. So previous verse talked about activities in terms of how they behave. No, activity, quality, mentality, all these are interrelated. It's not that there has to be a watertight division between this is activity and this is quality, this is mentality. They all are diffused together in the outline of the Bhagavad Gita Govan over here. But asatyam apratishtam te. So they say asatyam. This world is unreal. So this is referring to, generally it refers to Mayavadis. Asatyam apratishtam te. The apatishtam te means it has no foundation beyond. There are different approaches to this world. So some people say that, okay, this world is false. Some others say, okay, this world may be real, but it has no foundation to it. There is nothing beyond this world. And then some others say, jagadahuran ishwaram. Some people say, okay, there is no God beyond this world. So this world is unreal, this world is foundationless, and this world has no God in control. There is no God in control. So these are basically different godless ideas. Then naturally the question comes up, okay, then what is the purpose of existence? And then, kimanyat kama haitukam. Actually, it is arisen from lust and it is meant for lust only. It is just meant for fulfilling desires. So, if we look at this historically, you know, the idea of refuting God and remaining and becoming defiant of God's authority, it is not new. Atheism has been there throughout history, because there are always people who want to rebel against God, and this world is a facility for those people to either reform or continue the rebellion. So some souls can choose to continue that rebellion, and that's how there'll always be atheistic people. And we shouldn't think that the Indian culture, we can't whitewash the Indian culture. Some people say that, oh, because the Britishers came, you know, Indian culture got spoiled. Or because the Muslims came, the Indian culture got spoiled. Actually, yes, these foreign invaders did do a lot of damage, no doubt about it. But we shouldn't have the idea that in previous ages, everything was rosy-cosy. No, there are problems there also. Actually, if we compare with the classical age means when the Greek civilization was there in Europe, Greco-Roman civilization was there, and there were other civilizations in other parts of the world. So, among the classical languages, Sanskrit has produced the world's largest store of atheistic literature. You know, more than Greek, more than Roman, more than all the other civilizations and their respective languages. Sanskrit has produced huge number of atheistic literature. How did the atheist literature come from? They came from Buddhism and Jainism. So Buddhism and Jainism were basically rebel religions. They rebelled against the Vedic authority. But it's interesting that Buddhism and Jainism were atheistic without becoming grossly materialistic. It is very interesting. Normally we equate atheism with materialism. So Buddhism and Jainism, if you look at their philosophy, they have some ideas of they may even worship some gods. But their ultimate idea is there is no absolute controller. And Buddha is also, according to the Jains, Buddhists, or the Tirthankaras according to Jains, they are the enlightened beings. They are not the absolute truth. They are not, the absolute truth is some kind of shanti, passive, and nirvana, like that. Complete negation of reality. I have given a series of classes on Krishna consciousness and world religions. So there I have talked about different religions. I won't go into that over here. But at this point, suffice it to say that atheism has been there at all times. Of course, Jainism and Buddhism, they were not culturally at odds so much with the mainstream Vedic culture. And they also had renunciates. They also had the concept of regulation of one's material engagement so that one can pursue a reality beyond this world. And the understanding that this world is a place of misery and one needs to get out of this world if one wants to become free from misery. But, so Prabhupada writes that Buddhism, impersonalism and Vaishnavism, all three are common, have the common understanding that this world is a place of misery and trying to enjoy in this world increases the misery. But we have to get out of the world. Now what is there, what is beyond the world? They have different opinions for that. So anyway, atheism has been there throughout history. But in the modern times, atheism has become intellectually glamorized. And where has the glamour of atheism come from? It has come from science. Or rather, it has not come from science. Atheism has stolen that glamour from science. You know, atheism has masqueraded itself in scientific garb. So there are many people think that to be scientific means to be atheistic. Actually, science is just a tool for acquiring knowledge. And that tool can be used positively to go towards God. That tool can be used negatively to go away from God. Science is basically study of nature. Now from the study of nature, one can either infer towards a transcendent controller or one can infer towards the rejection, the denial of a transcendent controller. So science is basically like a map or a mirror or a microscope. It's basically a tool for studying nature. It's not just a physical tool. It's an intellectual tool. Yeah, so it has some, there is a methodology of studying, there are apparatus used for studying, all that is there. But the important point is that because there have been theories which deny the existence of God, which reject God, because of that, and these theories are portrayed as scientific. Actually, they are not scientific. they are at best pseudoscientific. So this theory is which claim to explain everything about creation without needing any reference to God. So these theories have actually led to people thinking that to be religious we have to be atheistic. And because of such thinking, because of thinking that to be religious we have to be atheistic, they often give up religion. And when they give up religion, what happens is that they end up becoming atheistic when because of their attraction to science. So asatyam apratishtham te jagad ahur anishwaram. Jagad ahur anishwaram. That there is no Ishwara in control of the world. And that was, we had discussed earlier about atheism, theism, deism and atheism. So prior to Newton's times, you know, the world was understood to be theistic. Theistic means that there is a God is the creator and God is the control. That was the mainstream understanding. But then Newton proposed the laws of motion, and subsequently more and more phenomena started being explained in terms of laws. Therefore the idea was, okay, the laws are governing the behavior of matter, then there is no role or room for God. So therefore in the functioning of the universe, so the idea came that God may be the creator but God is not the controller. So that is deism. God is the creator, not the controller. And that continued till Darwin's time, and when Darwin proposed the theory of evolution, then that was actually, even at Darwin's time, Darwin also said that the evidence for his theory is extremely flimsy. But he said in future research we'll be able to find the evidence. But anyway, his point was, his theory, although the evidence was flimsy, you know, that if we consider survival of the fittest, then Darwin's theory is actually unfit to survive. The evidence is so flimsy for it. Not only is the evidence flimsy, even the theory itself is flimsy. I will not go into that subject here. But the important point is that theory became popular, if you look at the history of science, because it became a bulwark for atheism. You know, it became a intellectual basis for atheists to reject God, and not only reject God, but to revile God. Revile means to criticize as old-fashioned, criticize as mythological, criticize as unscientific. So it became a tool for beating down God, and it became widely accepted. And once it became accepted, so atheism acquired scientific glamour, and theism, belief in God, started seem to many people to be unscientific. But it is not. Science is a tool, and there are many of the greatest scientists in the world have used science and have from science inferred the existence of God by their scientific studies. So anyway, what happened after this was, once atheism comes up, there is no God, then there is no basis for right or wrong. So what is the if there is no next life, there is no higher reality, there is no higher controller, then I can do whatever I want to do. And if I can get away with it, if I'm clever enough, if I am powerful enough to get away with it, then who is there to stop me? I'm perfect. So that is the idea that comes up. With such an idea, the floodgates for immorality get opened. So the atheist's ultimate secret is that, actually it doesn't even have to be a secret, but often it is that, you know, there is nothing wrong. If something gives me enjoyment, let me do it. That's all. So that's how immorality has come up. And we see within 50 to 100 years after theory of evolution being proposed, 1859 was the time when Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species. Then Sigmund Freud came along in 50 years after that, and he came up with his theories of sexuality, you know, perverse theories, where he said actually everything is just based on sexuality. And he sexualized everything, and when he sexualized everything, actually the purpose of he made religion seem to be like a disease, a neurosis. And when he made religion seem to be like a disease, he said actually we have to become sexually free. You know, whatever sexual urges are there, act on them. And he had some, when he was a child, he had some sexual attraction to his mother, which of course he could not act on because of social morality. And then he extrapolated from his experience, and he said that actually all boys have sexual attraction towards their mothers, and all girls have sexual attraction towards their father. And because they are not, people are not allowed to act on the sexual attractions, so there are so many problems which come up in society. So then he said, actually everything is based on sex. Kim anyat kama hetukam. And now we understand that sex is a predominant force in material life, But the idea that everything is reduced to sexuality, that is a distortion of reality, perversion of reality. And his idea was, okay, have free sexual expression. And once he opened the floodgates, once his ideas, which were more of his creative speculation and imagination than any scientific inference, they were thought to be scientific and taught as scientific. And the result was that then sexualization, what is called a sexual freedom, what is called a sexual expression, that these are all just words for, attractive seeming words for immorality. So these became, again, they acquired a scientific glamour. It is scientific, you know, there are no rules and regulations, just enjoy. And now we have such devastating consequences. Now divorces have skyrocketed, so many children are born outside of marriages, and the whole of society has become extremely troubled because of this. So the whole result has been that people are suffering more and more. And because they're suffering more and more, kimanyat kama haitukam is that what else is there apart from sex, which is the goal of life. Now Prabhupada makes an interesting point that factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. What does he mean by this? You know, that impersonal is, many people fancy impersonalism. They say that they fancy impersonalism. That means that they like the idea, oh, there is a reality in which we all have to become one and this world is false. But even these people who consider the world to be false, actually, they are expert and they want to enjoy this world. You know, they don't want any regulations in their conduct in this world. As this whole world is an illusion and you can act in whichever way you want, so we will act for enjoyment. Well, it makes no difference how we act. But yes, if this world is false, then why do we want to get more and more entangled in this world? We should want to get disentangled from the world. But they don't do that. So there is this double standards in their philosophy and their action. This world is unreal. We want to come out of the unreal. Why are we engaging in desires, and why are we expanding the desires and the activities that increase our engagement in the dream? So is this world a dream? It is a dream, but in what sense? It is in the sense that it is temporary. But while it is there, it is real for us. The world is real in the sense that the matter is the energy of Krishna, and we are in the material world right now. So we can't wish away either the material world, nor can we wish away our entanglement in the material world. There is a process that has to be followed by which we can get out of this world. So dream conveys temporality, not necessarily unreality. And that temporality means temporariness. Temporality applies even for the waking stage. What the world that we are experiencing right now is also temporary. Our bodily condition is also temporary. We will not be in this body forever. So when we say that the world is like a dream, that does not necessarily mean that the dream is false and so the world is false. No, just like the dream is temporary and should not be taken too seriously, this world is temporary and should not be taken too seriously. But we have to go beyond this world through a process, not just by wishing it away. And that process involves regulating of our conduct. The demons don't want to regulate their conduct. They just enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. And that is unfortunate. So now, let's go to the next verse. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano alpa buddhaya prabhavanti ugra karmana kshayaya jagato hitaha. So etam drishtim, this drishti, this vision, this understanding. What is that understanding? Kimanyat kama hitukam. There is no God and there is no other purpose apart from sex. Etam drishtim avashtabhya. Once they have accepted such a vision, Nashtatmano alpa buddhayaha. Nashtatmano, the soul is lost. And alpa buddhayaha, the people are less intelligent. And what happens? Prabhavanti ugra karmanaha. So they flourish in doing ugra karma. Ugra karma is terrible activities. Painful activities, painful for them, painful for others. And kshayaya jagato hitaha. So jagato ahita. Ahita is unbeneficial and kshayaya is destructive. So their overall activities are at best unbeneficial, at worst they are devastatingly destructive. So etam drishtim avashtabhyam. So what happens when people succumb to atheism and immorality, then that etam drishtim avashtabhyam. So the soul is lost. Nashta atmano. So this nashta is in the metaphorical sense. Actually, the soul can never be destroyed. We discuss about atmaha, killers of the soul in the Upanishad. So the soul cannot be killed, but nashta atmano. The soul's spiritual awareness, the soul's spiritual inclinations are killed because of excessive material. Nashta atmano, alpa buddhayaha. Alpa buddhaya means because of having very less intelligence. Alpa buddhayaha. And what are the, so they may have intelligence, but their intelligence is restricted to the realm of matter. Restricted to the realm of matter. You know, the earthbound or dearth bound. Dearth is insufficiency, inadequacy. So the earthbound or dearth bound. The earthbound means those whose vision is limited to not to earth. Earth is the representative of matter and material world. So think, oh, you know, here, this is where we have to live and this is where we have to enjoy. And there's nothing more to do in life. So the earthbound are dearth-bound. Dearth means shortage. So what happens is, if we think that this world is the only place for enjoyment, then we want to enjoy as much as possible. But the fundamental paradox in economics is a paradox for, fundamental problem in economics is a problem for everyone. That there are limited resources and there are unlimited desires. So how can unlimited desires be satisfied with limited resources? So they can't be satisfied. So that's why there are haves and have-nots, and the resources of the world are unequally distributed, and the have-nots feel dissatisfied. They feel dearth-bound. You know, oh, I want more and more and more and more. And actually the haves, they have a lot, but even they are dearth-bound because they have greed. And greed makes the wealthy needy. Greed makes the wealthy needy. I need more, need more, need. They don't need it, but they think that they need it. They feel they can't live without it. So in this way, as long as a person has a materialistic vision of life, no matter how much that person has, still the feeling will be, I want more, more, more. And one will stay dissatisfied. So one will do all kinds of terrible work to try to somehow fulfill the desires. One just can't fulfill the desires. Because the desires are so complex. And the desires are so entangling. And the desires are so insatiable. So what will happen is, the person will be ugra karmana, working furiously, almost like a frenzy to get more and more and more and more, and never be satisfied. In a modern society, lives can be described in three words. You know, WWS. WWS is worldwide stupidity. What is this WWS? People do what to do. People, they have to work. You know, they work 6 hours, not 6 hours, 8 hours, no, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. They work, and then they come back after work. What do? People spend their leisure time primarily in two activities. One is they come home and watch TV. And when they watch TV, what happens? The TV is filled with, there are many programs. Programs also show wealthy people, sexually attractive people, and that fills them with lust and greed. One more, and then there are so many advertisements. Now, essentially, what is advertisement? Advertisement is basically telling us, it may say, take this product. But when it is saying, take this product, indirectly it is saying, that is bad. You know, your hairstyle is wrong. Your shoes are wrong. Your dress is wrong. Your watch is wrong. Your cell phone is wrong. Your house is wrong. And what should you do? Change it. Get a new one. So naturally, when people watch, they watch TV. That's the major activity that they do when they come home. Then after that, they have to go and shop. So shop, purchase this, purchase that, purchase that, purchase that. You know, there is a whole addiction called a shopaholism. Shopaholism means addiction to shopping. People just can't stop shopping. I want that. And then the shopaholics, they just spend their money like anything. And now, even if today's society is so entangled, if you don't have money, still have credit card. If you don't have credit card, you know, take further loans. Just spend money. And people get bound. Now naturally, if we spend money, then we have to work more. And when we work more, we feel more tired. We feel, I need a break. And then when we come home, we want to watch more TV. And when we watch more TV, then what happens? We feel, oh, I want to purchase this, and we go and shop more. And then it just becomes an entanglement. Work, watch, shop. WWS. Worldwide stupidity. That's how it is, you know. Ugra karmana. So people have to work so painfully often. It's ugra karmana. Kshayaya jagato hitha. Kshayaya. Prabhupada here talks about weapons of mass destruction. So human intelligence should be used to do benefit to other living beings. But here human intelligence be used to make such weapons. You know, there are amount of weapons of mass destruction that are there. The whole earth, the population of the earth can be wiped out actually. So it's terrible. And now the human creativity to be used for such a destructive purpose, human intelligence, it is a great tragedy. So why are these weapons happening? Now we may say that in the past there were also weapons of mass destruction. But they were not, there are powerful weapons like Brahmastra and others, but they were not primarily weapons of mass destruction. You know, Brahmastra is primarily used, it was so precise that it would kill the embryo in the womb without killing even the mother. So it was certainly a weapon of powerful destruction, but it's not a weapon of mass destruction. Now mass destruction could happen if the weapon is, if say one Brahmastra and another Brahmastra comes together and improperly it comes together, then it can create a problem. That's why Arjuna was anxious and Ashwatthama had a Brahmastra and was about to deploy it. So very expertly both had to be withdrawn. That can be done. So today's weapons are weapons of indiscriminate destruction. Indiscriminate. Anyone and everyone may be destroyed. And terrorism, which is there today, terrorism is the opposite of Kshatriya mentality. Kshatriyas, actually, they will fight with opponents who are equal, who are equipped, and who are engaged, who are alert. So today the terrorists attack people who are not equal. You know, they attack civilians. They are not equipped. They don't have any weapons, and they are not engaged. Also, they are not alert. Now, innocent. Civilians are just going along, maybe in a shopping mall or in a theater or in a commercial complex, business office, and suddenly the machine guns, people attack or throw bombs or, you know, send airplanes into the towers. This is horrible. So, ugra karmana. So, of course, terrorism is a complex issue in general. But the point is that there have always been people throughout history who were having destructive mindsets. But in Kali Yuga, these people with destructive mindsets have been given such, have the chance, it is, they have got access, or they may get access to such horribly destructive weapons. By the clicking of one button by some pervert, you know, thousands of people can die, which is the great misfortune. So, kshayaya jagato hitaha, weapons of mass destruction. Now, weapons of mass destruction are so destructive that they are not even destroyable easily. That means they can cause destruction, but if we decide we don't want them, we want to destroy them. Often it's difficult to destroy them also. So sometimes scientists try to decide what to do. So, we decide that we don't want these weapons. So if you bury them under the ground, then it will probably poison the soil. If you burn them, it will poison the atmosphere. If you throw it into the ocean, then it will poison the water, and there are fish in it, and we won't be able to eat the fish. The aquatic life ecosystem will get disrupted. So there are some proposals now that these weapons of mass destruction, they should be put in a rocket, on top of a rocket, and they should be just thrown out into outer space. So, you know, we are not satisfied with polluting the earth. Pollute outer space now. Send the pollution to outer space now. Now, of course, there are devatas, you know, tuck. They'll send it down again. It's like Trishanku was sent down from above. They'll be sent down over here. So, anyway, I'm just speaking this in a lighter vein. The point here is that kshayaya jagato hitaha. So, Prabhupada also talks about these weapons of mass destruction. So, the demoniac creates such things. So human intelligence should be used to do good to others, not harm to others. And unfortunately, the best human intelligence today is being used for such harmful things. Now, we can't blame science entirely for this. Now, at the start of the Second World War, technology came really into big play, because in the First World War, airplanes were not so much there. So trench warfare was there. Both the armies would dig trenches and stay deadlocked in front of each other. But once the planes came in, the trenches would be transformed into graves. You are under the ground, we'll put you permanently under the ground with a bomb from above. So technology came into a big play in the Second World War. So what happened? There were many scientists, principal scientists, they said, we cannot use our intelligence to kill, to make weapons, we'll kill our fellow human beings. So they resigned. But then there are other people. You know, money rules, money, ultimately money is what matters for most people. So other people came up and took up the role. And you know, Einstein himself bitterly regretted the letter that he sent to President Eisenhower saying that, you know, Japan, that Germany may be having nuclear weapons, so America should develop the nuclear weapons. Eventually, when Japan was bombed and the extent of destruction that happened, after that, that was one of the biggest regrets of Einstein's life. So it is very sadly, sadly symbolic that the greatest insight, or that the best insight, or the best brain, best scientific brain of the of the 20th century led to the worst destruction. The best, Einstein is widely considered to be the best brain of the 20th century, at least from the material perspective, and his best insight was E = mc², the interchangeability of matter and energy. And what did that lead to? That was the basis by which the nuclear bomb was, the atom bomb was developed. And that led to one of the worst man-made destructions. So it's unfortunate. So though there'll always be people with destructive mentality, but today those people can have such terrible power that they can wreak havoc everywhere. So, Kshayaya Jagato Hitaha. Srila Prabhupada writes, also talks about animal killing also. Such people, materialistic people, they are considered to be advanced of human civilization. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancement of human civilization. But the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel. Cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings. So, Parushyam, with harshness, so cruelty is seen. Then kamamashritya dushpuram dambamanamadanvitaha mohad grihitva sidgrahan pravartante shuchivrataha. So kamamashritya. So kama is there in everyone, but here what is happening? They are taking ashray of kama. So kama becomes their whole and soul of life. Instead of taking ashray of Krishna, they take shelter. Ashray of Kama. What does it mean to take ashray of Kama? You know, people have this idea. There is no problem so big that sex can't solve it. And, you know, just whatever is the problem, just have sex. The problem will get solved. You know, forget it all. Now, it doesn't get solved, it just gets postponed. And often it becomes not just postponed, it becomes aggravated further. So, because often to get pleasure through sex, if one wants to keep getting pleasure, then one has to increase the threshold level and do more and more different kinds of sex and with more partners. And then that's why this kama ashritya dushpuram, dushpuram, that which can never be satisfied. So everybody has lust, and there is a civilized way in which that lust can be engaged and purified. That is through marriage. Dharmartha kama moksha was the progression in Vedic culture. And marriage has been there in other cultures also. But here, kama maashritya dushpuram, the shelter of kama. They think that, yes, through kama, we will solve our problems. Actually, the devotees understand there is no problem so big that Krishna can't solve it. But these demonic and godless people think that there is no problem that sex can't solve. So just enjoy. Dambamana madanvitaha. So that is kama maashritya dushpuram. This kind of devotion to kama, you know, taking shelter of kama, that is disastrous. So there are so many diseases and so many divorces and so many sexual crimes that happen because of uncontrolled lust. And people think that fulfilling lust is the goal of life. So dambamana madanvitaha, that they are filled with arrogance and pride and prestige. So our acharyas talk about cross sex and subtle sex. Subtle sex is the desire for honor. And mohat grihitva asat grahan. Mohat, with because of illusion, what happens? Grihitva, they accept asat grahan. They accept that which is asat, that is temporary, they accept it. And they think this is real, this is it, almost eternal. You know, if all the movies, they often end with, and they lived happily forever. So they lived happily forever is a white lie, and it's exactly opposite of dukkhalayam shashvatam. Happily dukkhalayam, and forever ashashvatam. So it's a white lie. But people accept it, and people want to believe it. Yes, this is how it will be. This is how they enjoy. Mohad grihitva asad grahan. Grihitva asad. That they accept it as true, and then pravartante ashuchimrataha. Pravartante. Pravartante means they engage in. And what do they engage in? Ashuchivrataha. Ashuchivrataha is unclean vows. So Baldev Vidyabhushan explains that this can refer to the left-handed tantra. You know, the left-handed tantra is where people engage in sex in all sort of indiscriminate ways, and they think that sex is a means to spiritual advancement, and they do black magic and all those things like that. So when they use this kind of, they do inauspicious activities, and they do it with determination, make a vrata of it, ashuchi vrataha. That is disastrous. So ashuchi vrata, you know, people have the idea that, you know, there is this Guinness Book of World Records, so is there, where they put different kinds of records. So what kind of records do they have? You know, all different kinds of records. One record is, say, there are couples who kiss each other. And how long can you kiss? How long can you just keep your lips next to each other's lips? So the record was that some couple in Thailand kept kissing each other for 47 hours. Now even from the point of view of basic human hygiene, the mouth secretes saliva and there is no pleasure over there, just sticking them out together for 47 hours. But just for the sake of a record. And then all the newspapers, it was a big splash in the newspapers. So this is ashuchi vrataha. So actually doing that which is completely perverse. So this sort of things happen because people have just no, it all starts with people have no reference point for understanding what life is meant for and how life is to be lived. So there are so many examples of ashuchi vrataha. We won't go into the specifics, but when people don't have a reference point to scriptures, then this is what happens. You know, there was some model in India. So in India, the World Cup was there. So at the time of India's World Cup final, the model said that, you know, if India wins, then for the Indian national team's pleasure, I will strip myself completely. And then that became a big headline in newspapers. And now, what happens when people don't have a moral reference, then they become imbalanced. So to fight violence against animals, cruelty against animals in slaughterhouses and other places, there is an organization called PETA, which does a lot of good work, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. But they go overboard in their devotion to animals, and in order to attract advertisements or to get that publicity for their cause, they often have women exhibiting their bodies, and then they will have pictures where they have parts of women, and then they will show some animal, and they show the parts of animals also, and they say, oh, just as I have bodily parts, animals also have bodily parts. Just as you won't eat me, don't eat the animal also. And they expose the female form. And those women who expose their bodies for the cause of animals, they are considered, oh, you are so selfless. Now, it's not selfless, it is brainless. So anyway, what happened was, when this model said that I will strip for the Indian cricketer, so some PETA people in India said that, you know, those cricketers are so filthy rich, why are you stripping for them? If you want to strip, strip for the poor animals. You know, strip for the cause of protecting animals. So there's just no moral reference left for people to decide what is right and what is wrong. Ashuchi vrataha. Ashuchi vrataha. So all this mohat grihitva asat grahan. So Krishna will now further in the next verse describe how sense gratification and wealth, These are the primary infatuations of the demoniac people that we'll discuss in the next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.